Happy Friday, Nashville. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. This is a preview show of what is going to be a great weekend of football across the state of Tennessee, all of college football, the NFL, and much more. Again, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So much to get to today. Titans and Rams coming up on Sunday. Home opener for the Titans. First time Cam Ward playing a real game at Nissan Stadium. He's going to be without a large part of his offensive line. J.C. Latham confirming that he is not going to play on Sunday. We will talk about that later in the show. Also, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, both with huge matchups, a chance to prove themselves, get to 3-0. Tennessee against Georgia on Saturday afternoon. Vandy, South Carolina, Saturday night. We'll look at those two games, as well as some other big games across the college football landscape, and much more. But, Parker, we have to start with what all the people are here for. Cow milking.
Who cares about the games? Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, so myself and Chase McCabe, I know everybody tuning in wanted the cow milking competition update. Myself and Chase McCabe competed against some of the local TV stations last night at the Nashville Fair. Annual cow milking competition. Big Joe was the MC. It was us versus News 2, Channel 5, Channel 4, and Channel 17. And I can confidently tell you that Chase and I finished dead last, and it was not even close. It was not So the winning team was the girls from Local On 2. They won back-to-back years, by the way.
So they're defending champs.
They seem to have the touch. We did not.
The pressure was high, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. They got 280 milliliters of milk in 3 minutes. There's no context to that, but I can tell you,
Chase and
I got 87 milliliters of milk.
Okay.
So they tripled us. It was not close. I've never done anything like that. It was a new experience. I will say, I think that Chase and I kind of got the short straw. We got the smallest cow there, and from what I was told, smaller the cow, the less milk you're going to get.
So they set you up for failure from the very beginning.
Well, we knew we were getting set up for failure when everybody else got the same size bucket, like probably size of my head bucket, and we got a little tiny one. And not that anybody filled their bucket up, but I was like, man, there are low expectations for us. We did have T-Rack and Nash cheering us on the entire time. They picked the sports guys. They were rooting us on. It started off bad when our cow, Jazz, by the way, shout out Jazz.
It's a cool name for a cow.
She did her best. She had her own way of marking the start of the competition, I guess I could say that. Something other than milk came out of her right as we started the competition. We won't go much further.
That's as specific as we'll get.
Yes. Luckily, we didn't get any of it on us. Chase almost got hit in the face by a hoof or a... Is that what, was it a hoof, a cow?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Chase almost got kicked in the head, and it really was all downhill from there. 87 milliliters. The winning team had 280. I think the fourth place team even got like 170. So we were in last by two times. It was exponential. So anyway, I know that's why everybody tuned in here. Just an absolutely horrible showing for me and Chase McCabe. But you know what? It was a learning experience for us. Next year, if we go back, I have a feeling we'll be better, and we'll choose a better cow.
Yeah, hopefully you won't get the small cow. I feel like we can't really count this result because it wasn't an even playing field. It wasn't level, you know? So
right. And there was an idea thrown out there of, like, maybe everybody should milk the same cow. But then you wonder about, like, law of diminishing returns of, like, does the person who goes first get more milk than the person who goes last? I don't know. There doesn't seem to be a fair way to do this, but I will say the team that won, the Local On 2, their cow was, it looked like our cow was their baby. Like, it was a big cow.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, they got over 200 milliliters more than we did. It was not close. Big Joe had a nice laugh about that when he was reading the results off. We were not even in the same, we weren't playing the same sport as the other teams. It was a rough showing.
This is making my day right now. This is what I was looking forward to when I was driving into the station today.
See, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And it's like you pull in to the Nashville Fair and like I you tell the gate agent like, hey, I'm doing media for the cow milking competition. And they're like, right this way. It's like you're a VIP.
This is so their Super Bowl. This is what they were here for.
We went in there. I texted Nick Frazier and Connor Newt. I said, I now know what it feels like to be the man in the arena. There was actually a pretty decent crowd out there. Like many more people than I expected to be out there on a Thursday night for a cow milking competition. Anyway, it didn't go well. It was, I don't know how many people out there have actually milked a cow, but it didn't look like what I expected it to. Like, you always kind of, when you think of a cow, like the udders, like you think of, I don't even know what you think of, but it didn't look like that. They look like kind of like thumbs that you were squeezing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't go too much deeper into this.
TD was having a very fun time with this conversation yesterday.
TD was probably the last person who wanted to talk about cow milking on the show yesterday. But anyway, thank you to anyone who reached out with tips yesterday. Some of them were more helpful than others. Nick Frazier did. Of course, Nick Frazier knows tips of how to milk a cow.
What doesn't that man know? He knows all the weird little things that people do. Like, so, he just knows it.
When I texted him yesterday, right before we started, he was like, hey, if you get a bucket of warm water and dip your hand in it, the milk will flow like wine. And I'm like, how do you know this, Nick? Like, but that is a
I don't know if I would want to ask.
That is such a Dr. Crane thing to know. Anyway, did not go well. Chase McCabe, Jake Lyman did not do well at the cow milking competition at the Nashville Fair last night. But it was only year one for me. You know, we're going to spend 365 days trying to improve. I also found out just before that my grandmother was the Dairy Princess of New Hampshire. And so I feel like I let down my ancestors, my genealogy. It should have been in the blood to be a good cow milker, I guess.
I didn't know this.
I didn't know it either. So
you let down royalty, man.
I did.
You have royalty in your blood.
I have dairy royalty in my blood, and I let them down. Chase and I finished dead last. I believe Chase is going to join me at the very end of the show. We're going to do a little crossover before Chase and Big Joe come on, and we'll do a post-mortem, a little post-game. We'll look at the tape. And see what we need to improve on.
I need a little post-game presser.
Thankfully, there is no actual tape. No one actually got a video of it. Chase did put out a picture of us with Nash and T-Rack cheering us on last night.
He did kind of spoil the result for me because he said it did not go well.
It did not go well. It went worse than I expected, though. It did. I thought we would at least be within striking distance. Again, we were not even... Like, it was like the major leagues for everybody else, and we were playing high A, like rookie ball. That was it was a tough showing. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. There you go. Everybody who tuned in for cow milking, we got straight to it on this Friday morning. We will talk actual sports, actual football, coming up throughout the rest of the show. Chase might join us for that last segment. We'll talk. We'll go through exactly what happened last night. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plenty to get to on the Titans. We'll talk J.C. Latham's injury. T'Vondre Sweat hasn't practiced this week. We'll do that later this hour. But an interesting Thursday night football game last night. And TD and I went through this game and the matchup with the Packers and the Commanders. Two teams that want to prove that they can be contenders in the NFC. The Packers, I think, established themselves right in that conversation to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl last night. Also, big injury for the Commanders. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Wisconsin takes on Alabama tomorrow at 11 a.m. in our college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday, getting ready for what will be an exciting football weekend. Tennessee, Vandy, Titans, all with big games this weekend. We'll get to all of them throughout the show, but we did have a game last night. Packers and Commanders, and TD and I talked yesterday about how these two teams both believe that they can challenge the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And the Packers, I think with the Micah Parsons addition, have vaulted themselves into that conversation, but obviously before that trade, maybe weren't considered in that tier. The Commanders went to the NFC Championship game last year, but there's always going to be some regression when you have a rookie quarterback take you to 12 wins and you make a run, you beat the number one seed on the road. And I think we saw last night, Parker, that the Packers, that's a legit team right there. That is a tough way to start your season, having to face Detroit and Washington back-to-back. And neither game was really all that close. The Commanders scored late to make it look a little bit more respectable. But it was all Packers last night. Green Bay, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the NFC.
Yeah, and they did it both wins easily, especially over the Lions. And you could tell the Lions really missed Ben Johnson just the way their offense operated. And something, I can't put my finger on it exactly. The Commanders' offense just looked night and day different from last year in a bad way. But I've been saying since the Packers acquired Micah Parsons that they were one really elite player on defense away from contending for a Super Bowl. And now that they have Micah Parsons, I believe they're right at the top of the conversation.
Yeah, and I think Green Bay did a good job of deploying Micah Parsons when they needed to. And there was the one play. I thought he was offsides, but it was just how fast he got off the ball. Ended up chasing Jaden Daniels out of the pocket, and he kind of did a somersault as he crossed the line of scrimmage. Like, Micah Parsons is a game wrecker on that defensive line, but it's not like he's the only pass rusher they have. Rashawn Gary was getting to the quarterback last night. It's a good Packers team, and Jordan Love has looked really good in his first couple of games. He had a couple of touchdowns last night. Tucker Kraft is looking like he could be a top tier tight end. It is tough. Jaden Reed, I believe, broke his collarbone last night.
And I don't believe it's confirmed yet, but it did look
like. That's what it looked like, and it looked kind of similar to the Treylon Burks play in the practice at Nissan Stadium that broke his collarbone. Just one of those plays where you go up to make a catch, and you got the defender on your back, and you just land awkwardly on that shoulder. It's not great to see, but they do have other options out there. Drafted Matthew Golden out of Texas in the first round this year. Christian Watson, other options at wide receiver. Romeo Doubs did he score a touchdown last night? I believe he did.
Yes, he scored the first touchdown, right. The slant in the end zone when they were on like the 5-yard line.
Right. So yeah. The Packers, even though they may not have that superstar number one wide receiver, they've got plenty of depth out there, and you hope that Jaden Reed can get healthy. For the Commanders, I picked them to miss the playoffs last week when we did our predictions, and not because they went 5-12 or something like that. I had them going 10-7, losing a tiebreaker, not getting back to the playoffs. And I think it's just the NFC has a lot of good teams, and I think the Commanders fall into that category. They made some moves this year to try and get better, but like, is Laremy Tunsil still an elite tackle in this game? Probably not. He's still a good one, but they made that move. He's not going to be a game changer out there at left tackle. Deebo Samuel, coming off a horrible year with San Francisco. Now, he did get into the end zone last night. I think he's beaten the fat allegations. Can we say that?
I'd say so.
Yeah,
looks fine to me.
Last year, everybody was saying, man, Deebo Samuel looks out of shape. He looks like he's gained some weight. He looks like he is in football shape. But again, I don't think he is the same player he was 3 years ago. Marshawn Lattimore looks horrible. Like, pretty much ever since he got traded from New Orleans, he looks horrible.
They were going after him all night. Like, the Cowboys were going after Adoree Jackson. It was the same thing. They were going after Marshawn Lattimore, and I just can't believe it because he was an elite corner not too long ago.
Cornerback is the position. I know running back gets talked about a lot as the position where it's like the wheels can come off and you just go from a dude to just another guy really fast. And I think cornerback is in that category of like the peak of a cornerback's career, unless you are Darrell Revis, is so short. And you can go from being locked down at cornerback to you lose one step and all of a sudden you're a liability out there. And that's what happened with Marshawn Lattimore. Like, Marshawn Lattimore 3 years ago, those battles with Mike Evans were legendary in that NFC South. Like, it was must-see TV to see Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans go at it. And last night, if he wasn't getting toasted, he was getting called for a penalty. And I'm wondering if we, to relate this to the Titans, like, L'Jarius Sneed, he looked good when he was out there on Sunday, but that is why it is maybe not the best idea to invest a ton in a cornerback, because cornerbacks can go from being all pro to just a guy in 1-2 years, and then you invested close to $100 million and a third-round pick in a guy who is basically just an average cornerback.
Yeah, mentally, I think quarterback is the hardest position to play in all of sports, but it's not as much physically. I think cornerback, in the NFL especially, hardest position to play on the football field physically because you're having to mirror receivers, and you're mirroring the best athletes, some of the best athletes in the world. So I think the lifespan of a really elite corner, or the prime of a corner's career, is a lot shorter compared to some of these other positions.
Yes, for sure. And I agree with you. Like, quarterback for sure is the hardest position to play in football because of the mental side of it. You have to know what everybody's assignment is on every single play. But cornerback, I think you're right. Physically, that is the toughest position to play because the wide receiver knows where he's going. You have no idea. And any contact you make is likely going to draw a flag. It's tough to play cornerback. And I think that is why you see these guys go from elite to average so fast, because if you lose just a little step, that's all it takes for these elite wide receivers to become that much better than you.
I mean, think about how many corners we can name that were elite for 3-4 years.
Right.
And then Tre'Davious White is one that comes to mind, but he's had some injury issues. But I think of so many guys that were so elite for a few years and then just kind of fell off a cliff.
No, it is true. It's like you look at the best wide receivers in football, and usually you can be one of the best wide receivers in football for 5-6 years. Like, for years it was, all right, is it Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, or Odell Beckham Jr.? And then it was like, oh, is it Julio, Antonio Brown, or DeAndre Hopkins? Like, it was all kind of the same guys. But you're right, like, cornerbacks, you get a couple of years. Like, Marcus Peters, I know he was more of an interception artist, but he had a year or two where everybody was like, oh, he's the best cornerback in football. And then he fell off a cliff. Trayvon Diggs, again, kind of a pick artist, but people were talking about whether he was one of the best cornerbacks in football. He gets burned a lot. You mentioned Tre'Davious White, Marlon Humphrey in that draft class too. Like, all these guys who you only get 3 or 4 years as an elite cornerback, if that. And I think we've seen the end of Marshawn Lattimore last night. Also, tough to see for Austin Ekeler. Looks like he tore his Achilles last night. And for a guy his age at that position, you wonder if that may be just about it for Austin Ekeler, and that's tough to see.
Yeah, it was so unfortunate. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional, but just the way he was reaching, like, the area he was reaching for on his leg, you just kind of knew,
right?
And the way it buckled, you just kind of knew. It's so unfortunate for Austin Ekeler.
And the Commanders came out immediately, and they didn't say ankle, they didn't say calf, they said Achilles injury. And when you come out that fast with, yeah, it's an Achilles injury, he tore his Achilles. And it's really tough to see, because that Austin Ekeler is a guy who I think a lot of people kind of gave up on him when he left LA. It was like, all right, yeah, he's just this most recent undrafted late round running back who was good for a couple of years. And then, you know, you cast him aside and draft somebody else. He was pretty good with the Commanders, and it's tough to see. It looks like we'll be seeing a lot more of Bill coming up.
Love
for
it.
The Commanders.
Love Bill Kroski-Merritt. That story is truly incredible. If you haven't seen his story, I highly encourage you to look it up. It's incredible.
Justin from Greenbrier says, Parsons looked like he was on roller skates and the Washington O-line was stuck in the mud. He was so fast off the ball, it was like he knew the snap count. Right. There was the one play, I was waiting for the flag because I was like, he had to have been offsides. And they showed
I know
the
exactly
replay.
What play.
And I'm like, nope. He just was so fast getting off the ball. And Justin also says he played like a monster. The more he does that, the worse it makes Jerry Jones look. And yeah, can't argue with that. Jerry Jones, I understand that sometimes you have to trade away good players, but Micah Parsons so far is making that trade look worse and worse with what he's done in the first 2 weeks. It's early. We're not going to have a full-on grade of this trade until we see what the Cowboys do with those first round picks. If it ends up getting them a franchise quarterback who can be the successor to Dak Prescott, great. That would be worth it for the Cowboys, but we don't really know. 7988, going back to the cow milking. He says, it's an analogy on the sports teams here in Nashville. When you have Nash and T-Rock cheer for you, you finish last. So, yeah.
Ouch.
Wasn't good. He also says, no cow milking video, betrayal in all caps. Yeah. I was hoping.
I agree.
Hoping to get a video, but, you know, it happened so fast. It was only 3 minutes. We were in and out of there in less than an hour. So I didn't get a video. There is a picture on Chase McCabe's Twitter. If you want to go check it out, you can see Chase and me kneeling on either side of the cow. And again, yeah, T-Rack and Nash cheering us on. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai. This Sunday, catch the Eagles versus the Chiefs for the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 3:25 p.m. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky, and Masero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans. Some injury news yesterday, and I don't know if the Titans are all that happy that J.C. Latham broke his own injury news. I thought that was funny, and you could see the hesitation in his eyes when they asked him, so you're out for Sunday, and he was just like, yeah. So we'll talk about that. Cam Ward not going to have one of his protectors up front on Sunday. We will get to that. And also, Tavondre Sweat hasn't practiced this week. Could be big news for the Titans if he's unable to get out there today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
What do you think of the Rams pass rush? Cam certainly did some damage late last year and got off to a pretty good start. What do you see when you see them on tape?
That's a real group of rushers right there. They're powerful. They're athletic. They can move the pocket, whether it's me having to step up or me having to get out front or back side. They're a talented group up there. Our O-line, they're ready for the challenge. I got everything, in faith in our O-line. I'm pretty sure they're going to have themselves a big day.
That was Cam Ward talking about the Rams pass rush group. He says he has faith in the Titans offensive line. I don't. Especially with J.C. Latham announcing yesterday that he is not going to play on Sunday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. So, J.C. Latham left the game on Sunday against Denver with hip issues that he had been dealing with throughout training camp in the preseason, and it looks like he is not going to play on Sunday. Again, I mentioned heading into the break, I'm not sure the Titans all that happy that he announced that yesterday. He kind of implied it in some of his previous answers of like, I'm preparing the same way I would if I was going to play. And a good follow-up there of, so you're not playing on Sunday, got the answer out of J.C. Latham. So it'll be Ali Udoh, most likely, at right tackle on Sunday. Titans are going to have their hands full with Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Byron Young, etc., trying to keep Cam Ward upright. And I don't see how this is going to go well for the Titans on Sunday. Cam Ward got hit 12 times in Sunday's game against Denver. This pass rush is similar, if not better, than what Denver had. I think Nick Benito is probably better than any of the guys that the Rams have out there. But collectively, this is a really good Rams pass rush. Cam might be running for his life a good amount on Sunday at Nissan Stadium in his debut.
I do have one point that I want to make, that if we're looking at the bright side here, there is one thing that can help this Titans offensive line on Sunday. That is prayer.
Yeah.
Pray hard for this Titans offensive line.
I would hope Cam Ward is doing that too. Hopefully he can stay healthy. It wasn't good on Sunday. It wasn't. And Dan Moore didn't look good against Nick Benito. And Ali Udoh, when he did get in there, was struggling. J.C. Latham honestly struggled when he was out there, although maybe the hip had something to do with that. The interior looked fine, which gives you a little bit of hope, but it just seems like Cam Ward is going to have a tough time being able to sit back there and go through his reads. Also, Tavondre Sweat is out. And not out for the game, but he hasn't practiced yet. We will find out his status later today. I'm not sure when the ankle happened. Maybe it was towards the end of the game, but I mean, he was out there for that fourth and inches, which was with about 4 minutes left.
I couldn't pinpoint it either.
I don't know if there was a specific play, or maybe this is an accumulation of stuff that's been going on throughout the last couple of weeks since he came back from the tonsillitis. But not having Tavondre Sweat out there hurts your advantage you would have on the other side, because the Rams may be missing a couple of starting offensive linemen. I did see yesterday, I think Steve Avila still did not practice yesterday, so likely he is not going to play. Kevin Dotson and Rob Havenstein both returned in limited fashion. We will get their statuses later today as well. So if the Titans' one big advantage is that there are a couple of offensive linemen out for the Rams, you'd like to have your best defensive lineman out there to take advantage of that. Jeffrey Simmons looked really good on Sunday. You hope to have another performance like that against LA, but sweat is a big part of that too. And especially you want to stop the run, you want to make sure you can get the Rams behind the sticks. It may not be good if Tavondre Sweat out there. The trenches may be the undoing of the Titans, despite all the investment they've had in those over the last couple of years.
Well, Tavondre Sweat didn't practice yesterday either.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So that could be. But if the Rams are going to be without both of their starting guards, which I think there's a chance that they'll be just without Steve Avila. I think Kevin Dotson is going to play, but the Titans desperately need Tavondre Sweat because you can't be without him, and you can't be without J.C. Latham if you are. There's not a lot of hope.
Yeah, it's like those are your two guys from last year's draft who you had high hopes for this year of taking that next step. J.C. Latham moving back to his primary position, his comfortable position at right tackle. Tavondre Sweat showed a lot of promise last year, didn't really hit the quarterback maybe as much as you'd like to. And after missing most of training camp, now it looks like he may be out for week two. It's tough. And you hope that Jeffrey Simmons can still have a big day. 7988 says Simmons should eat on Sunday, but Sweat would eat too if he gets to play. Like that is big for Jeffrey Simmons, because if Sweat's not out there, all the double teams are going big Jeff's way.
Like exactly.
I don't think you're double teaming Sebastian Joseph Day or James Lynch. Like as much as I think those guys are capable players, the double teams are going to go Jeff's way. Having Sweat out there, even if Sweat isn't the one who makes the play, it opens things up for Jeffrey Simmons and Femi Oladejo and the other guys on the edge. So you got to hope Tavondre Sweat can get back out there on the practice field today. That's where my eyes are, because knowing that J.C. Latham is already out, you got to just prepare for the Titans' offensive line not to be very good. And 7988 also says fast release, two-minute offense all day. I think that's what you have to do. You've got Brian Callahan last year had plenty of experience planning around the offensive line not being very good, and I think that's what he has to game plan for on Sunday, is you've got to find quick releases, you got to find layups for Cam Ward. I think that's really your only option. Otherwise, you're just leaving him back there as a sitting duck to get hit again.
Yeah, and sorry, I was talking to Chase, so I didn't catch all of what you said. That's the point of Jeffrey Simmons losing all that weight in the offseason, losing 20 pounds, was you're going to get double teamed regardless because you're Jeff Simmons. And if you drop the weight, it helps you move a little bit more efficiently, a little bit more smoothly to get past some of those double teams. But if you have Tavondre Sweat out there alongside you, that takes so much pressure where maybe you're getting double teamed less. You're still going to get double teamed, but you'll get double teamed less. And that opens up the lanes for some of the pass rushers. So if Tavondre Sweat is not out there, not only does that hurt Jeffrey Simmons, but that hurts some of the guys like Arden Key, Femi Oladejo, guys like that.
Yeah, it's a tough start to the season for the Titans. I mean, if you look at the two matchups that you probably didn't want to start the year, these are the two. I know the Chiefs are good. That wouldn't have been a great matchup. But you look throughout the rest of the Titans' schedule, I don't know if you're going to see defensive lines, defenses like this, back-to-back to start in any other portion of the schedule. Like, the rest of the schedule, not to say it's easy, but there are a lot more winnable games. And even you look at some of the tougher games, I wouldn't say that the Chargers or the Texans or the Chiefs or the 49ers are going to give you as many challenges as the Broncos and Rams are. So going 0-2 to start the season, it's not unexpected. I think everybody kind of looked at the schedule and said, yeah, those are going to be tough games to win. The Titans were competitive against the Broncos. They probably should have won if it weren't for self-inflicted negatives, which were, you know, that's all they spent talking about the entire offseason. With the Rams, this one, it just feels like a horrible matchup with the injuries coming in the worst spots at the worst times, and I don't see this going well for Tennessee on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's the thing that pains Titans fans the most, because I certainly didn't expect them to beat the Broncos on Sunday, but I also didn't expect the Broncos to turn the ball over four times,
right.
Three by the offense, one on special teams. And that's the thing. The Titans could have won that game if they caught the football, if they capitalized on turnovers. I did expect them to start 0-2, and that puts your offense, that puts your rookie quarterback, that puts everybody in a bad hole. But then you have the Colts in week three, which I'm not really impressed by the Colts. Like, I know they got that week one win versus the Dolphins, but the Dolphins kind of stink. So that'll be an opportunity. And then you have the Texans. But, yeah, starting 0-2, not great.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the next 6 weeks after this one, you're probably not going to be favored in many of these games. A lot of them are on the road. But Colts, Texans, Cardinals, Raiders, Patriots, Colts, like, those are all games that you look at and say, all right, there's a chance if the Titans play well, they can win those games. This one, with the injuries, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of areas where the Titans can exploit the Rams. Rams are a good team. I don't think it's going to go well. I could be proven wrong, but last week I didn't feel good about the Broncos game, and pretty much the Broncos did everything that they needed to give the Titans a chance to win, and they still couldn't do it. I don't think the Rams are going to play as bad as the Broncos did last week. This one might be a tough watch on Sunday. 0042 says, we just need our coaches to actually coach. Yeah, that's a big part of it, but you also need your players to be talented. And right now, the Titans are somehow back at offensive line purgatory. And we're going to get into that coming up next. After all the investment and all the talk of how it has to be better, and they've put a good group in front of Cam Ward, somehow after 1 week, we've gotten to the point where we're talking about Cam Ward might be running for his life again. That shouldn't be where it is with everything they've put into that line and Bill Callahan coaching it. We'll talk the offensive line coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, next man up, 102.5 The Game, getting you set for a big football weekend. We're talking Titans right now. We'll spend the next hour looking at the college football slate, including Tennessee and Georgia, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. For the Titans, heading into this year, the two main reasons for optimism that this team was going to be better was, first of all, Cam Ward. Pick a quarterback number one overall. You expect him to be better than what you got from Will Levis last year. And the offensive line. After going out, paying Dan Moore $80 million, $82 million, you move J.C. Latham back to right tackle. You bring in an experienced veteran at right guard in Kevin Zeitler. Lloyd Cushenberry's back from injury. You kind of expected that the offensive line was going to pretty much immediately become capable. Not saying they were going to be elite, but they were going to make sure that Cam Ward was not going to get hit 12 times and get sacked 6 times in his first game. And I understand the Broncos have a great pass rush, and it is just game one. There have been plenty of examples of offensive lines needing a couple of weeks to gel and you know, figure it out. You look back at 2021, we mentioned it yesterday, Ryan Tannehill got sacked 5 times by Chandler Jones against the Cardinals. That offensive line ended up being pretty good. So, not just condemning the offensive line right now, but it is frustrating when we talk all offseason about all the investment that has gone into the offensive line, and you have the legendary guru offensive line coach Bill Callahan, who widely regarded as, if not the best offensive line coach, second best offensive line coach in the NFL, and your first overall pick quarterback gets hit 12 times in game one, and we're having the conversation on the Friday before week two of, like, how are they possibly going to protect him with Dan Moore and Ali Udo playing the tackle positions? It is frustrating that we're 4 years into this offensive line purgatory, and somehow, despite having two top 12 picks and a ton of free agent money on that offensive line, we're still having these conversations.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because the offensive line would be decent if J.C. Latham was out there, but Dan Moore looked like a turnstile week one in Denver. You're not confident in the tackle depth with Ali Udo coming in for J.C. Latham. Just, and I said before the season started. Like, it may take this offensive line a few weeks to gel because there's so much newness and guys not playing next to each other, them going up against backup defensive lines in the preseason. But what you saw on Sunday against Denver does not give you a lot of optimism if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, Dan Moore, he got his lunch eaten by Nick Bonitto pretty much all day long. It was not good. And J.C. Latham, I'm going to give a pass on because J.C. Latham was not very good either, even when he was out there. That near safety at the end of the first half was pretty much completely on J.C. Latham, just giving up instant pressure off the edge. But you have to understand that the hip was probably bothering him at that point too. They need to get him healthy. And I don't know if this is something that can be healthy next week, if it just takes a week off to rest and hopefully he's ready to go for Indy. Maybe there's an IR stint coming for J.C. Latham. Like, if this has been something that's lingering throughout training camp and the preseason and it still wasn't ready by week one, I'm wondering if maybe this is a spot where they send him to the IR for 4 weeks and just try and make sure that he's ready to go when he comes back. Like Tajay Spears. Like, I don't know if Tajay Spears needed the 4 weeks to be healthy with the high ankle sprain. I mean, he got injured about a month ago at this point, and he still has 3 weeks left until he's eligible to return. But you want to play it safe early in the season and make sure that you don't lose him for the entire year. I'm wondering if maybe an IR stint is in the cards for J.C. Latham.
If it is, it's going to be a long 4 weeks, because if you go to the IR, you're on it for at least 4 weeks. So if the Titans don't have him, it's fairly workable, that schedule, but still, you don't want to be without your right tackle to protect Cam Ward's front side. And then you have Dan Moore, who doesn't look like he's worth $80 million, at least the early returns through week one. Just would not be a good situation.
Yeah, and let's hope that it was just a week one, shaking the rust off, getting the chemistry together. I understand it is week one, and you can't – we talk about how week one is a liar all the time. You cannot – project that the offensive line is going to look as bad as they did in week one for the entire season. But it is disheartening to see that pretty much everybody outside of Peter Skoronski on that offensive line had their issues on Sunday. Zeitler was fine, but he had a bad false start that ended up leading to a fumble. And Lloyd Cushenberry, I'm sure he's healthy. I'm sure he's ready to go. But like, I'm sure there was a little bit of an adjustment period there. Sunday is probably going to be a disaster on the offensive line. Like, I don't really foresee any way that Cam Ward is going to have many clean pockets on Sunday in straight dropback scenarios. They can try and scheme around it, right? Like, you're going to do your best to get him quick throws so he doesn't have to sit back there and hope he doesn't get hit. But I just don't see a scenario where he's not going to have guys at his feet and having to flush out of the pocket. Let's see what happens when they face the Colts. And let's hope J.C. Latham doesn't have to go on the IR and he's back. But I think this is going to be a work in progress for a couple of weeks. You hope that Latham doesn't have to miss multiple weeks. But if he does, it's not going to be good. Not that the Colts have an insane pass rush, but again, if you have Ali Udo out there, I don't think it really matters who's on the
other side. Makes anybody look like an all-star, right?
And then, like, the Texans line up Will Anderson wherever, if it's Dan Moore and Ali Udo.
Daniel Hunter, too, out
there.
Yeah,
he's going to be in the backfield. So, not exactly optimistic for this weekend. I heard Robbie and Rex Road and Ian doing their pigskin pick'em. The pick that seemed to be easiest for them was Rams -5.5. I don't know if the Titans are going to get completely blown out of the water. It is at home. It's Cam Ward's debut, and we're going to talk about what the atmosphere might be like on Sunday for Cam Ward in his first game at Nissan Stadium. But I don't see the Titans having a chance to win this game late. Like, last week, that was the conversation of, like, can Cam Ward get the ball down late with a chance to go tie it? If he does, I think that's a successful week one. Obviously, we didn't know the way it was going to turn out. But this week, I think it's just like, look at Cam Ward in a vacuum with what's around him. You can't fault him if he doesn't look great on Sunday with the way the offensive line is looking. I think that's basically what you're looking at on Sunday. You're probably going to lose, But can Cam Ward build off what he did well on Sunday in Denver?
That's going back to what you said. There are ways that you can scheme around this a little bit, getting the ball quick out of your hands, quick developing RPOs, screens on the outside. The problem is the defense for LA is elite, and they will be able to pick up on that very quick. Sean McVay, I know he's an offensive mind, but he's a very smart guy, so he'll know what you're doing. That's the thing about like guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. What made them so good towards the end of their careers were it wasn't that they were afraid of getting hit, but taking hits at age 40 or late in your 30s is much different than getting hit when you're early 20s, mid-20s. They were really good about getting the ball out of their hands quickly, protecting themselves. Even Joe Burrow, the year the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, the offensive line was terrible.
The Titans sacked him 9 times.
Exactly. I believe their offensive line was somewhere in the 30s, which is horrendous, but yet they still got to the Super Bowl because Joe Burrow was good about getting the ball out of his hands quick. The thing about Cam Ward is he's entering game 2 in his rookie season. Do you really want to put all that pressure for Cam Ward to play like guys like Joe Burrow, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady?
I think it's good for Cam Ward to get to see this stuff because it's not always going to be perfect for him. He's going to have to elevate the talent around him. That is what the good quarterbacks in this league, the great quarterbacks in this league do, is they elevate the talent around them. But looking at Sunday's game, even if he elevated them, I don't know if it's enough to be competitive with this Rams team. But it is good experience for him to be out there in a tough situation and see what he can do with it. You're going to face adversity in your NFL career, and he got the short end of the stick.
He's already on a bad team, a team that picked first overall, so it was going to be rocky regardless.
Yeah.
Right?
No, these are two really tough teams to start with, and you hope that the adversity he's gone through against the Broncos and what he's probably going to see on Sunday against the Rams makes him better when he faces some of the more palatable defenses, I guess you would say. Because these are, again, I don't know if you can find two tougher defenses on the Titans schedule than the ones he's facing in weeks 1 and 2. It is not going to be fun on Sunday for Cam Ward. But I think the experiences are going to help him in the future as he develops as a quarterback. Because, you know, if you see the tough ones first, the less tough ones are going to make it easier for Cam Ward moving forward. Jeff says, guys, some of us have harped and complained about the same issue of the offensive line often for several reasons. They get tired of reading our texts and resort back to talking up another receiver, quarterback, or running back. I cannot understand why these supposed knowledgeable people cannot understand it all begins with a foundational offensive and defensive line. This terminal issue is seriously turning away Titans fans. For sure. And Mike Borgonzi has said that they want to build through the trenches, and he's backed it up. You sign Dan Moore to an $82 million contract. You bring in Kevin Zeitler. You make sure J.C. Latham is in a comfortable spot because you used the 7th overall pick on him. They have invested in the offensive line. They bring in Femi Oladejo. You spent the 35th pick on Tavondre Sweat. They're trying to build through the trenches. You can't control injuries, but so far they haven't gotten the return on the investment that they would hope for. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have questions, thoughts, text us, call us. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Skyler says, Jake, talk me out of not betting the mortgage on the Rams money line on Sunday.
No can do, sir.
I mean, I wouldn't bet the mortgage on anything. I think that's a safe thing to say, but I do think the Rams are going to win by at least a touchdown on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More to come on the Titans. We will talk about the Nissan Stadium atmosphere because I think thinking what is going to happen on Sunday based on what the matchups are for the Titans and Rams, the game's probably not going to go well. But this is Cam Ward's home debut. This is the first time ever that the Titans have had the number one overall pick as a quarterback make his debut at Nissan Stadium. I'm interested to know what the crowd's going to be like. What's the reaction going to be like when they announce him over the speakers before the game? And let us know if you're going to the game. 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear from you. But we can't spend the whole show on the Titans. It is a massive weekend in college football, especially in the state of Tennessee. Game day is in Knoxville. Vanderbilt on the road looking to get to 3-0 and likely ranked early on in the season. We'll talk about those games, plus other big ones across the slate as well. USF and Miami playing in prime time on the CW. Notre Dame and Texas A&M playing in South Bend. And Florida trying to prove that they can still be a top-tier team on the road in Death Valley. We'll talk about all of it in the second hour. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.